Well, go ahead and open up to Matthew 16. Tonight we're going to talk about the keys of the kingdom. The keys of the kingdom of God. God is moving us from the church status quo into revival. Now, how many of you know that means change? I have never liked change too much, even as a young man. And now at age 70, change, it's not my favorite word. But it is if it's going to move us from where we are into where Jesus wants us to be. The only reason we're not walking in revival right now is because we believe a lot of wrong stuff. That's why Dave kept saying, and not just me, but everybody, I think, over the years, don't stop praying the mysteries. There's a lot of things we don't understand yet. Otherwise, we would already be in the revival because God is not withholding it from us. What's really scary is he's pouring all that he can through each and every one of us right now. That's if that's not a horror story, keep you up at night. But that is changing. See, because faith does come by hearing and hearing by the word of God. To be honest with you, from well-meaning preachers, I don't mean to be mean, we've had a lot of help in not believing. We've had a lot of wrong teaching. But how many of you knows God's word is settled in heaven and we are getting it settled in us? The word is not changing. We are changing. Amen. So we are going into revival. And this season, I'm telling you, the next move of God is the army of God. This isn't going to be tent revivals with one man shows. And there was a time and a season for that. But this is not going to be that. This is Joel's army. This is the army of God. Joe Public, Mary Wallpaper, and I hate to even use those terms anymore, but I understand what you understand what it means. Rising up as the army that you truly are, equipped with the weapons he has given you to destroy the works of the devil everywhere you find him. That's where we're going. Amen? We're in agreement? So for us to change, then we have to renew our mind. And I thank God for Nathan right now. Is he hammering us or what? But it's a godly hammer, and I need hammering. Just keep hammering, buddy. You know, it's really, because we've had centuries of, you're just an old sinner saved by grace. That's why you can't stop sinning. Can you tell Nathan's coming against that just a little bit? Oh, my Lord. But when you got to hear it, and you got to hear it, and you got to meditate on it and start getting your mouth in agreement with it. And bless God, we're a generation that's going to walk completely free from sin. Because that's what the Bible intended. That's what Jesus intended the whole time. Whom the Son makes free is free indeed. Amen? Your amens are getting weaker now. Amen? I got to quit saying amen all the time. One day, I was listening to Bronk. And he wasn't getting enough amens. So he said to one of the members, he said, Brother so-and-so, could I pay you $5 for an amen? So after it was over, I texted him. I said, now from that point in the service, I just want you to know I amened every sentence you said. The bill for $500 will be in the mail. And so he texted back, said, that's good to know. Let me tell you right now, the check is in the mail. So anyway, yeah, right. Sure it is. Got to have fun. Amen. Okay, Matthew 16. The most important question you'll ever be asked in your personal life, for anybody's life, is Matthew 16:16. Well, actually, verse 15. Jesus said, Whom say ye that I am? Boy, there's the question of the ages. Who do you say Jesus is? Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Boy, that's the right answer, is it not? And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee, now he uses a little play on words here, that thou art Peter, and in the language spoken at the time, that was the word for rock, okay? Like a little rock. But he's just using a play on words. He's not calling Peter the rock. He's saying, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. What rock? The thing that Peter just spoke. That here's the rock of the foundation, the cornerstone of the church. Jesus is the Christ. He is the Son of the living God. Amen? That is the cornerstone of the church. That's the rock. He says, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, during the conference, one of the services I did, we titled it, The Gates of Hell Shall Not Prevail. And even though I've taught it here some, I think I taught it better during the conference. Probably I'll teach it better the next time I teach it. But if you haven't heard that one, it's already at our website and also Dave's. I really recommend you hear it the way the Lord brought it forth. It was different than I'd ever said it before. Now, for years I was taught, not here, but before we started at the prayer center, that the gates of hell really had more to do with the councils, you know, because the elders used to meet in the gates of the city. And so that was really talking about the warfare, the strategy of the enemy against the church. And so my mindset for years when I'd read this passage was, well, we were on the defensive, and the enemy was the one on the attack. And then they would couple that up with Ephesians 6, you know, that you'd be able to stand against the wiles of the devil and put on the whole armor of God and take the shield of faith wherewith you're able to quench every fiery dart. And when you left those services, you had a defensive posture. We're the ones under attack. We have to defend ourselves against the devil. But it wasn't too long ago, sometime in this last year as I'm going through here, Holy Spirit, you know, He can clear up a bunch of doctrine with a single question. He says, tell me about all those times you were attacked by a gate. Isn't He amazing? One question destroys volumes of wrong theology. Because I got to thinking, in all my 70 years, I have walked by thousands of gates. And I have yet to, it's funny, I have walked by, oh God, here comes a gate. I've never been attacked by a gate, have you? It's not talking about that. He's saying the gates of, Jesus expected was for His church to be the ones on the offensive. We are the kingdom of God. We are the children of light. And we are to go into the darkness, kick the gates of hell down, and set the captives free that are being held hostage behind that gate. Now, isn't that right? See, now, that's right. But because the church as a whole has had a defensive posture instead of a aggressive posture, the church is all holed up in our little buildings, and we're not getting it done. And He's changing that. But in order to really get it done, Alan had a lot of good points today. But listen, that's where we are. But listen, that's not where we're going to be. Amen. What's going to happen? You're going to become so full of faith, so knowledgeable, so persuaded that you are who He says you are. That you have what He says He says you have, and that you can do what He says you can do. I mean, darkness, listen, when light comes, I'll tell you right now, when light comes, darkness doesn't even resist. Darkness can't. You flip the light switch, is it light? Does the darkness ever try and hold your hand back? Do you feel darkness linger? What? No, I won't go. I won't go. No, you flip the switch. If we ever understand that, that's the authority and the power right there that we have over the enemy. But we don't know it. We've not been taught it, but that's changing. Okay. So the rock that the church is built on is He is the Christ, the Son of the living God, which there's so much involved there. All authority in heaven and earth has been given unto me. I am the Christ. I am the Messiah. I am the Son of God. Therefore, you go in my name and you do all of these things. Okay. But now today, let's go one more verse. And the gates of hell, that's where the enemy has the people of the earth locked up behind those gates in unbelief regarding, even in the Corinthians, it says the God of this world has blinded their minds. The ones that don't believe. The God of this world has blinded them. We're to go in and unblind them. Bring the light of the gospel. Set the captives free. Set the captives free. And that's why he talks about keys in the next verse. So let's look at the keys. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt... Now notice there, it's called the keys of the kingdom of heaven. You receive these keys from heaven. But notice you use them on earth. Look at this. I'm giving you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, but they're not for gates in heaven. They're for gates on earth. These keys are heavenly. I give them to you. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now, some Greek scholars say, and I think it's okay, they say actually the rendering of the Greek is like this. Whatsoever you bind on earth is what has already been bound in heaven. And whatsoever you loose on earth is what has already been loosed in heaven. What's been bound out of heaven? How about sin? How about sickness? How about disease? How about birth defects? How about plagues, wars, murder, rape, on and on and on? If this is just another way of saying what Jesus said, Father, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. If it's not allowed in heaven, we don't allow it here. If it is allowed in heaven, we do allow it here. Amen? And he's given who the keys? I give you the keys. Now you're in Matthew. Back up to chapter 8 real quick. And I'm not going to really teach on the centurion tonight. You know, in all of Jesus' teachings, though, he only said two people had great faith. And that was the centurion and the Canaanite woman who had a daughter grievously vexed of the devil. What's amazing is neither one of those people were Jews. Neither one of them had a covenant with God at that moment. Yet they both got what they came for. I'm not going to teach on the Canaanite woman, but I just love her so much. She is a true mama. She comes and says, Lord, I got a daughter grievously vexed with the devil. And it seems like Jesus, he's loved with legs, right? But he's almost rude to her. Healing is the children's bread. It's not meat to take the children's bread and give it to the dogs. Come on. Basically, now is not Jesus God in the flesh? So basically, she comes and says, I need help for my daughter. And basically, God in the flesh says no. And it's like she's looking him right in the eye going, I hear what you're saying. But I'm not leaving till I get help for my daughter. I heard a preacher preaching that one time, and a lady in the crowd went, that's a mama. I'm not leaving till I get what I came for. Even the dogs, Lord, she didn't argue. Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. In other words, I know you're bigger than this covenant. You've got enough healing for my daughter too. God, that good stuff. He says, woman, great is thy faith. And that her daughter was healed from that hour. Now the other one here is this centurion that we're going to look at. And verse 5, Matthew 8, 5. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying... Now again, this is a Roman centurion. He's actually part of the occupying army. He is not highly thought of. You know, he has no covenant with God at all. But Lord, my servant... Now, what I mean not highly thought of, he was a good man. The Jews said he has built a synagogue. He has done these things. But what I'm saying is he's still a Gentile. And from a Jew's point of view at the time, they weren't even allowed to go underneath his roof. Okay, that's what I meant. Now, verse 6. And saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, and by the way, this is what he always says, I will come and heal him. You don't ever say, I'm not coming. The only thing close is when he didn't immediately go and heal Lazarus. And there was a reason for that. There was a strategy of the devil trying to get him arrested. But see, his faith went beyond healing. He went, well, okay, this strategy's not going to work. He'll die. I'll go. My father will just raise him from the dead. We'll be walking there soon, too. You watch. Anyway. So Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy. And what he means is a Gentile. I'm not worthy that thou should come under my roof. Boy, here it is. But speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. Boy, the word for. This is the reason why he could say what he just said. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth. And to another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. Now, what made this man have such great faith? He understood authority. In the army, he knows how it works. I say to this one, go, and he'll go. I say to another, come, he comes. There's no talk back. There's no negotiation. They do what I say because they are in authority under me. Somehow he recognized and understood that Jesus had authority over sickness, disease, and devils. And he says, the same way I have authority over men, you have authority over sickness, disease, and devils. Lord, you speak the word only, and my servant will be healed. And that's exactly what happened. I was meditating this one day, and I thought, I wonder if that guy ever got saved. Some people, by the way, think that's Cornelius. I don't know if that's right or not. But what if this guy got saved later on? A man who understands authority to that degree. And he heard. He gets saved. And he's listening to the apostles' doctrine. And one day they come to Matthew 16, where Jesus says to believers, I give you the keys of the kingdom. Whatsoever you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. Whatsoever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. And I thought, ooh, doggies. If this guy who understands authority, at that time he knew that Jesus had authority. But if he finds out later that Jesus gave him the same authority that he had, this guy would tear it up. This guy, he understands that I have the keys. I have the authority. And heaven will back me up. Whatever I loose on earth, as long as it's been loosed in heaven, in other words, it agrees with heaven, if I loose it on earth, heaven's going to back me up, and it's loosed. If I bind it, it's bound, see? I thought, this guy, I'm amazed we don't find out more about him later on, you know. Now go to Matthew 10 with that thinking in mind, see. Authority goes right along with the keys. See, thieves don't need keys. Devil doesn't really have any authority. Now sometimes you may give him some by opening wide the door by stupid stuff. Get drunk and drive. Stupid. But most thieves, what makes them a thief, they're not waiting for your authority to break into your house. They're not needing no keys. They just break in to steal, kill, and destroy. Isn't that right? See, but we're doing everything legally. We have been given the keys of heaven, but we're to use them on earth. And we get a little preview of what that authority is here in Matthew 10. This is when he first sends out the 12. Okay? Matthew 10:1 says, when he had called unto him his 12 disciples. Now later on, you know, right after this, he does 70 the same way. So it's not just these 12. But when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power. Now that word right there is authority. He gave them authority. What if I said he gave them the keys? He gave them authority against unclean spirits to cast them out. And to heal how many? All manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Come on down to verse 7. And as you go, preach, here's your message, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Anything that is at hand is available to me right now. It's not beyond my reach. It's at hand. I can have it now. And how are they to demonstrate it? Does it say pray for the sick? Heal the sick. Cleanse the lepers. Raise the dead? These guys aren't even born again yet. Come on, I know. They're not even born again yet. They haven't been baptized in the Holy Ghost. I think they're standing there shaking like sheets in the wind. What? We've been watching you do it. He said, well, I'm sending you to do it. See, in essence, he's given them the keys by authorizing them. It says he gave them authority. He could have used an analogy. I'm giving you the keys. Keys, nobody gives you the keys without giving you authority to use the keys. The fact that you have the keys gives you authority. He's sending them out. And he says, heal the sick. I'm going to keep hammering it like Nathan's hammering on sin. You're not going to find in the New Testament or the book of Acts where you're told to pray for the sick. You're told to heal the sick. Boy, there is a vast difference. And I find going to the hospitals now or anywhere I go now, it changes you. That mentality. He's not sent me here to pray and walk away. That's a rhyme. That'd make a good title. Don't pray and walk away. No, he sent me there to get them up. See, that vision that Dave's had from all these years of emptying hospitals, we are going to literally see that. I've heard it and heard it, just kind of took it on faith, but my eyes are beginning to open to that. John G. Lake over 100 years ago said, believers, if they really follow Christ, will eradicate sickness in their city. Well, that's empty in the hospitals, isn't it? Did you know that in Spokane during those 5 years that he had those healing rooms and they had 20,000 healings a year? And so they altogether they had 100,000 verified healings. Did you know the hospital closest to those healing rooms closed down? Literally closed down. There was not enough patients to stay open. Later he moved to Portland. It reopened. But anyway. Heal the sick. Heal the sick. Cleanse the lepers. Raise the dead. Cast out devils. Don't charge $300 for a prophecy. Anyway. Freely you have received. Freely give. Amen. We could go on there. Now. Authority, keys. In this passage, we can connect the dots. The keys you have, the authority you have, is over every devil. Say every devil.
Every devil.
Unclean spirits.
All manner of sickness.
Does that leave anything out? And all manner of disease. You had the keys. And you have them right now. Let me ask you this. Most of you drove here. In your purse or your pocket, you got keys to your car. How many of you, when you go out to get in your car, you pray your key works? How many of you have doubts? Well, my key worked yesterday. See, right there is a gift of the Spirit mentality. When it happens once and it doesn't happen the next time, you still have a gifts of the Spirit mentality. You're not really yet aware of the Holy Ghost that's with you and in you. Because He doesn't come and go. He doesn't say no to healing the sick. He really doesn't. Does He say no to somebody wanting to be saved? Y'all are getting weak again. Does He say no to somebody who wants to be saved? Can He say no? He can't. Can't violate what Jesus did. See, and we've been studying this year, healing is just as much in the atonement. That's why at communion, you take the bread and the cup. The cup is for salvation, but the bread that represents His body with His stripes ye were healed. And that the Holy Spirit, we've got to get past this gifts mentality. We've got to get past the, ooh, I feel the anointing. We're going to do a lot more teaching on that. If you got the Holy Ghost, you're anointed and your feelings have nothing to do with it. Nothing to do with it. You have the keys. Let's get back to your car. Sometimes it's some of the simplest things. Number one, you expect your key to work. You don't pray that it works. You intend to use the key because either somebody gave them to you or you bought the car, but you know, bless God, they're your keys. You have a right to use them. Do you need to pray about when to use them? Do you have faith that if it worked yesterday, it'll most likely work today? This is how it's going to become with healing. That's what he means. That's why he gave. That's why he used the word keys. Keys don't work one day and not the next. Keys work every time. And we're going to get past this gifts mentality. I mean, even the writer, even Paul, as he was writing to them, he says, look, covet the gifts. I'm not coming against the gifts. Covet the best gifts. Yet show I unto you a more excellent way. More excellent way than what? Staying a baby on gifts. Grow up into love. And operate like the master did, who would walk up and like a waiter at his father's table. He'd show you, here's everything God has, and it's like a fine waiter. What can I bring you today? What can I do for you? What do you want? Oh, I'd like to receive my sight. Oh, I have a key for that. Just a moment. Boom. I need my daughter. She had to be a teenager. I got a devil-possessed daughter. Sorry. See, later on, you're glad you don't kill them. But right during those few years, the thought is really there. Anyway, I'm teasing. I am teasing. Okay, a little bit. Anyway, Angie's right over there, my daughter. Amanda'd be laughing too, so whatever. We got to get past that mentality. Listen, you have the keys. All right, hold up your healing key right now. Just hold it up. Say, I have been given the key. This key gives me authority over all devils. This key, I'm going to call it the name of Jesus, gives me authority over every unclean spirit. This key gives me authority over all manner of sickness and all manner of diseases. And it works first time, every time, no exceptions. I don't have to pray that it'll work. It'll work. I believe it. It's mine. I'm going to use it. We get a little too spiritual sometimes. How many of you go out to your car, you got your key? You're thinking about opening the door with it. Now mine's a Ford. I wonder if it is the will of Ford that my key worked today. I think devils laugh at us. Really do. I think we're so religiously brainwashed, not practical at all, and they're going, yeah, they're a threat. And we're going, I don't know what to do with this key. Wonder what this key's for right here. It worked yesterday. Don't know if it'll work today. Wonder if it's the will of Ford that it'll work. Just a minute. I need to go hear from Ford. Pray and fast till I hear from Ford. Ford already sent you a letter authorizing you to use the key. You understand what I'm saying? Jesus already sent us. I heard one preacher say, we keep waiting for a phone call when he already sent us a letter. Now, there's things you need to hear from God regarding your call and so forth. But when it comes to the keys, he already gave us the keys. Those keys, I'm prophesying a little bit. Those keys, the keys of the kingdom are going to become so yours. The reality of them to you will be exactly the same as the reality of your car keys. You will use them the same way whenever the need is there, knowing that you have been authorized to use those keys. Go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Making sure I get the work yesterday, but not today. Now, let me mention this. There's three. This is related. It's not exactly the same. I'm really talking about faith to use the keys. Okay? But let me start with just faith for healing. There's three basic levels of faith. Okay? Some people never even make it to one. Number one, faith, let's say, be healed by your own faith in the Word of God. That's level one. That's really the best one. If you can come to the place where you can get healed yourself by faith in the Word of God. And I think that's for you personally, that's God's best. That you believe it yourself. Because if you receive your healing yourself, then when the enemy comes around with another attack, it's a little harder for him to try and put that on you again. You'll learn. Okay? So that's level one. Right? Now, level two is to get healed by another person's faith. Now that's James 5 that Alan mentioned this morning, and it is in there. And if you just come to, you've tried and you can't receive and you're just not, it's not happening, then call for the elders of the church. Okay? Call for the elders of the church, and they'll anoint you with oil, and the prayer of faith will raise the sick, and the Lord will raise him up, and if he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. That's a really good promise. That's another level, though. You're basically being healed off of their faith, the elders' faith. But where God is taking us right now, he's trying to bring us to the place as ministers with the keys, where you know that others can be healed by your faith. And I'm especially talking about the lost. By definition, the lost don't have their own faith, do they? Isn't that kind of the definition of an unbeliever? They are an unbeliever because they don't believe. They don't have faith. Yet Jesus said in Mark 16, these signs shall follow those that believe. And that's not talking about the apostles. It's talking about the one that heard the apostles. It's talking about the normal believer. These signs. Signs to who? Signs to the lost. These signs shall follow them that believe. And one of those signs is they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Now, during the conference, I had a fellow that I came to and I said, now, here is a total pagan. This guy, he lives in a country where they worship, I don't know where it came from, where they worship grass. And then I said, not marijuana. Literally grass. I mean, they think grass is God. You know, I don't know. But he's never heard the name of Jesus. He's never heard of Moses. Who is that? He's never heard anything ever. But here comes a believer. And he starts talking to him about Jesus, the rock. Jesus is the Christ. Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is raised from the dead. Jesus saves. Jesus heals. Jesus baptizes in the Holy Ghost. And the guy's listening, maybe, but he's going, no, I worship grass. But as that's happening, he notices that the pagan guy is sick. Something's wrong with him. He said, look, let me show you something. I want to show you a sign that Jesus is alive and Jesus is who I say he is. Would you let me pray for you in the name of Jesus? We'll just, you know, I'll show you something. Let me show you something. I got some. See, what did Peter say? Silver and gold have I none. But I got something. Such as I have. I have. What Peter had was the key. That name, through faith in that name. That's the key. That's the key, see? So let me show you something. I got something for you, Mr. Paganite grass worshiper. In the name. And you pray for him, whatever it was, you know, and he gets healed. That is a sign. And he got healed on your faith. He didn't have any faith. He got healed on your faith. And it's a sign to him. If he's got any sense at all, he'll go, maybe grass is not God. Grass never healed me. But Jesus, you use the name of Jesus and look at me. I'm well and I'm whole. Hey, I've got a sick child at home. Would Jesus heal her? Yeah, come on. Go to the house in the name. Heal that child. You're going to have Mr. Grass Worshipper becoming Mr. Evangelist for Jesus really quick. See, and that's how this thing was supposed to spread from the beginning. It wasn't the fivefold supposed to go in the world. Really, it says the fivefold is to mature the people for the perfecting, the maturing of the saints for the work of the ministry. This church is supposed to be like a recharging station. And everybody go out. Out there is where the harvest is. See? And everybody's aspiring to ministry. If everybody's aspiring to ministry, well, everybody will be in church and no sinners. All the sinners are out in the field. We need born again, spirit filled doctors, dentists, quick trip clerks, mechanics, everything. That's where the field is. That's where the harvest is. Amen. But we got to know we have the keys and use them the same way you use the keys to your car. I pray this key works today. It worked yesterday. But I've heard of people using the key and it not working. That's a gifts mentality. You never know from day to day. Okay? No. That's not who we are. Yes, sir. Ephesians. Go to Ephesians. This is not in my notes. I said another thing during the conference. I said, you know, I love the book of Acts, but I don't want to be a book of Acts church. Book of Acts church. I mean, for 10 years, I mean, I thank God for the signs and the wonders and the healings, but for 10 years into the book of Acts, Peter thought only Jews could be saved. He also still thought he had to keep the dietary laws of the Old Testament. Oh, I know that's not God. I mean, I don't want to stay a book of Acts church and give up bacon. Come on now. I mean, hey, I get a witness over here, my brother. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Right now, Arby's is having the triple thick bacon sandwiches right now. Hallelujah. Don't ask me how I know about them. Anyway. I don't want to stay a book of Acts church. I sure don't want to stay a Corinthian church. Little babies, he said, you little bottle-sucking, thumb-sucking babies can't get along with each other, all puffed up in knowledge and no power. That's how. I don't want to stay there. But I do want to be an Ephesians church. So, Ephesians 4, we'll just start with the fivefold. Starting in verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. There's your fivefold. Well, what's their purpose? For the perfecting, and that the best word there is maturing, for the maturing of the saints. That's the body of Christ. For the work of the ministry. The maturing of the saints for the work of the ministry. That's what we're trying to do now. Get off of milk to a degree. Get off of the gifts. Thank God for the gifts, but he's trying to mature us into love. God is love. And as you mature into love, you won't be limited by the gifts. You'll become what I call it the resident anointing, where it's you and the Holy Spirit co-laboring together on planet Earth to bring about the will of the Father. Exactly like you see Jesus doing it. Amen? He's giving you the keys of the kingdom, and these keys are supposed to work first time, every day. The name of Jesus always works. When it's done in faith. Remember, it's not just that name. Peter said, it is that name through faith in that name. Well, that name is the key. It's founded on the rock. Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. All authority has been given unto him, and now he has sent you in his name. You have the keys to the kingdom. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now, this next verse was not in my Bible. I just don't think I would believe it's possible at all. But it is in there. Till a few of us. See that? Can you believe it says this? Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. Now, unto a perfect man, which that really means a mature man. He's just talking about growing up. Well, how mature? If my Bible didn't say this, I would not believe it's possible. Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Dear Lord Jesus, do you understand? This is the church that I want to be in. This is the church I want to be a part of. That we all, it's not just one, we all grow up and together we make the body of Christ to the fullness of the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's the church that I want to grow up to be. And it's, you can't do it by yourself, by the way. Your body is more than your thumb. You can't just mature the thumb and think you got a full body. Yeah, but I'm a thumb. I got a really great thumb. Well, whoopee-doo. It takes all the parts of the body to make a body. See? That's another whole lesson there. But now look, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine. Boy, there's lots of that. By the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Alan was doing a pretty good job this morning. He was doing the Noah anointing. He didn't use the name, but I want you to know that there is a special anointing right now. And if you'll write that $1,000 check and send it in the mail today, I want you to know why your child will be healed. Cunning craftiness. Sleight of men. Snake oil salesman. In the name of Jesus. But speaking the truth in love. May grow up. Again, now listen to what it really says. Grow up into Him in all things. In all things, I can grow up into Him. Now, we can grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. And it's really from Him that the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working and the measure of every part. Your part needs to become effective. My part needs to become effective. I've told the Lord, Lord, I don't need to be seen. I don't need it. I used to, maybe did, but that was long. Lord, I'm happy to be a liver. I'm happy to be a spleen. I don't care. But wherever you put me, I want to be a good one. I want to be a fully mature spleen. I want to, whatever a liver does, I want to do it really well. Amen? Boy, when we do that and we allow Him to put us where He wants us to be, and then we allow the Holy Spirit to mature us. Wouldn't it be great if God would send some preacher to earth that could teach us how to turn ourselves over to a teacher, perhaps the Holy Spirit, that could tell us what our calling was in the body. And then perhaps if we spent time with, wouldn't it be great if some teacher came and taught, oh, there's Pastor Dave sitting right there. He taught us that. How to turn yourself over to the Holy Spirit. Well, I don't know what I am. I hear it all the time. I don't know what I am. Well, He knows what you am. I'll tell you right now. Now, this is, again, I don't have time to get into it. There's more than 9 gifts. I can prove it real easy to you. That's not an exhaustive list there. And there's way more callings than you think there are. There's way more callings in the body of Christ. We seldom ever talk about the ministry of giving. That's a calling. Ministry, there's people called to give. What? They're just as anointed as the guy, as the healing evangelist. Anyway, that's another message. Y'all getting anything out of this? Now, 2 Corinthians 1:20. I'm already running over a little bit. I just, I, I just want you to see this. See, when it comes to these keys, we don't understand. We don't think the keys that He gave us work like the keys we use every day. But the keys He gave us, the reason He used the word, they had keys then. You know, they had a key to their house, and they expected that key to work every single time. That's why He used the word keys. Because he's wanting us to understand the rock of revelation. I am the Christ. I am the Son of the living God. When I give you authority, that is the key. And I want you to unlock everything that's, whatever's bound in heaven, I want you to bind it on earth. Whatever's loosed in heaven, I want you to loose it on earth. Now you got the key, go do. Peter understood it. He did it at the Gate Beautiful. Amen? We're going to understand it and use it at the Gate Walmart. Just seeing if you're paying attention. Verse 20. I just want to plant this seed in you. Listen. For all the promises of God in Him are yea. Can I just say yes? All the promises of God in Him are yes, and in Him, amen. That word amen literally means so be it. When He says, I give you the keys of the kingdom, so be it. You have authority over every devil. You have authority over every sickness. You have authority over every disease. If it's not allowed in heaven, don't allow it here. And we're going to keep on hammering on this till we're all walking in it in Jesus' name. Amen.